if you want to prospect with less effort, first and foremost, you must build a strong personal presence in your marketplace.
Welcome to CREPN Radio for influential commercial real estate professionals who work with investors, buyers, and sellers of commercial real estate coast to coast. Whether you're an investor, broker, lender, property manager, attorney, or accountant, we're here to learn from the experts.
Welcome to Commercial Real Estate Pro Network CREPN Radio, episode number 75. Weekly, we share interviews with real estate experts who pass on their experience and knowledge to help you move forward in your real estate investing. My name is Jader and Gross. We're so glad you're here. In just a minute, we're going to speak with Rod Santamassimo. Rod is a founder of the Massimo Group. They work with commercial real estate professionals of all experience levels to improve their performance. He's also the author of numerous books, including Brokers Who Dominate. In light of the new year, although this topic applies at any time you want to improve your performance, we take a look at goal setting and what it takes to dominate your marketplace. But first, whether you're a regular listener or if this is your first time checking out Commercial Real Estate Pro Network's podcast, we hope you'll subscribe. You can do it a couple of different ways. You can either go to our website at commercialrealestatepronetwork.com, click on the podcast link and then the subscribe button, and there you can choose from either iTunes or Stitcher. If you're already a user of iTunes or Stitcher, you can go type in the search bar on either site and type in Commercial Real Estate Pro Network. And when you see our logo, it's the headphones with CREPN between the ears. Go ahead and click subscribe. That way you can listen to the show whenever, wherever you choose. Keep in mind, we're working on a couple of new segments. We're not exactly certain how we're going to promote those, but they will be available to our subscribers if you're subscribed. So check that out. And also want to invite you, if you're on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, go ahead and reach out to me and let's connect. If you do that, be sure to let me know that you're a listener to the podcast. And if you have a deal or you want to talk about the insurance with a particular deal, go ahead and reach out to me either on the social network platform we're connected on, or you can also reach me on my at my email or my phone. You can find that information on the website under the contact button. And also, before we get on with the show, if you are on LinkedIn, go ahead and check out our group, Commercial Real Estate Pro Network. It's a great place to network with commercial real estate professionals. So join the group. All right, let's get on with the show. On the call this morning, we're fortunate to have my guest, Rod Santamassimo. Rod is the founder of the Massimo Group. He's also an experienced broker. He's a CCIM. He's an author. He's a husband, a father. As I said, he's also the founder, leader of the Massimo Group, and the author of the book, Brokers Who Dominate. Rod, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Dennis.
Well, I'm delighted to have you and excited to speak with you and learn about what you do and share with the audience your experience and what you do. But before we get going, Rod, if you could do myself and the listeners a favor and kind of tell us a little bit about your background on your journey to the Massimo Group.
Sure. You know, it's hard to believe I'm a 30-plus year veteran in professional arena, mostly in the commercial real estate space, here as a broker, an owner of a firm's manager, executive vice president of an international brokerage firm. And then along the way somewhere, I became a COO of a telecom firm, it took public, and a CFO of a law firm. Very little tangential.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But ultimately, it was commercial real estate that was really my love. And I had the privilege of working with several firms and great people. And then in 2008, when the recession hit, I found myself with the opportunity to see what I can do differently on my own. And given my years in the commercial real estate arena, working with such great brokers and having my own success on the brokerage front. I said, you know, maybe I could coach one or two brokers and help them build their business. And now in our ninth year at the Massimo Group, we're helping, well, we've helped over 1,000 brokers. We have hundreds of clients across North America, 20 coaches, clients actually in India and South Africa and Europe, last time I checked. So, you know, I grew this idea of helping brokers become more productive through a process and a platform and the right people. So here we are today, the firm called the Massimo Group.
Wow, it's quite a journey. And even in the telecom and the law firm, that's an interesting juxtaposition there too. And back to real estate, and now in the coaching arena and worldwide. That's impressive. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. We got a long way to go, but thank you.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to, or I guess, kind of in my mindset is that it's a new year. You know, I know myself that as the clock winds down on the end of last year, I kind of look and see, okay, what did I accomplish? Where did I fall short? What would I like to accomplish? What would I like to do more in the next year? And it just seemed appropriate to speak with you, and I'm sure that our listeners can appreciate the majority of the audience is either real estate professionals or investors. And, you know, just in the nature of real estate, there's always change. There's always challenges. There's always the opportunity to try and find the good in what's presented to you, even when it seems like the world's turning upside down. And I thought, you know, this could be a really good opportunity to kind of set all of our you know, plans for this new year and set some goals and get some information from you or some input from you on how you see it and how you work with clients. So with that, I'm kind of curious, when you're working with customers, and, you know, I think even in one of your books, it referenced there was, and I think it is the top performers ones, how you had the young guys, the tried and true, and the older guys. So it was not like just you had to be a new guy with a lot of energy to perform. But it applies to all of us. Is there when you're sitting or when you're working with somebody, what's the starting point for a look forward?
Great question, Darren. I think when you talk about goals and you look at moving forward, and I know we're talking about a new year here, but this is true for any client, any individual, any professional thinking about, okay, it's a new day. What can I do going forward? But specifically to the goal question you asked, the first place we start for any client, whether it be they start on January 1st or on June 18th, it doesn't matter. The first place we always start is, where have you been? Where have you been? And we mean that from a couple of different perspectives. Number one is we, of course, want to look at their transactional history, what deals they've closed, who they've worked with, how they secured those deals, size of those deals, right? Source of the deals, the motivation behind each and every deal, because that really allows us to understand the individual and the practices that are working, as well as the practices that may need some enhancement. So we always look back first, and then we start looking at the current situation. We assess all our clients, whether it be brokers, managers, insurance folks, doesn't matter. We assess all our clients with some tools we've created to assess their current practice. And by understanding where they are, their current practice, it's really a reflection, self-look in the mirror, say, wow, this is what I'm currently doing. So once we look at what they've done and where they are, then from there, it's quite easy. It's actually quite easy to set specific goals, key initiatives to move forward. And when it comes to goals, a lot of material on this out there on the internet, books, everything I read, and we agree, really have two, maybe three, if you want to push it, key goals for progressing, then you're really set. Those who set goals of 5, 10, 15, you have no goals. You need to have a plan, a wish list.
Yeah, right. A to-do list kind of a thing. I'm curious. So when you break it down, you look back, kind of find out what's working. I assume there's kind of an assessment of what's not working and try and sift through the noise to where you find those things that are working and what you're doing. Do you find that to achieve, is it usually activity that, you know, that there's specific activities that kind of set, you know, success in motion? Or is it a mindset, or can you shed some light on that?
Sure. And it's actually a combination of both. I mean, you have to have the right mindset. You have to be disciplined. You have to be willing to do the fundamentals and the activities behind those fundamentals to achieve any goal, whether it be in sports or business, it doesn't matter. But great question as far as you phrase it, Darren, appropriately as activities. And, you know, I just read a book the other day. I try to read as much as I possibly can. I read a book called The Four Disciplines of Execution by McKinsey and Covey, the son of Covey. And they talked about really the keys to goals, to having a scorecard, what's widely important. The thing I really stressed there was, so you really have to understand, we stress this for our clients, and I like the way they articulated it, but you have to understand the difference between a lead measure and a lag measure. So for example, you may have a client, you know, they want to, in your world, they may want to have a certain savings amount or funding amount or protection amount, right? And that's what they're looking at, the amount. Or in my world, commercial real estate brokers, for the most part, they say, well, my goal this year is to make X, whether it be $20,000 or $20 million. That's their goal. Well, that's a nice goal. Don't get me wrong. It's very important. That's really a lag goal. You don't know if you're going to make that goal until you get to that number. So December 31st, did you make the goal? No. Well, what can we do about it? Nothing. It's too late. That's a lag measure. What you suggested, though, Darren, was the idea of a lead measure, an activity. What activities will drive you towards that goal? So if you want to make X dollars this year, let's talk about what activities, what key initiatives we have to do to put that in place, and the activities behind those. And let's track those activities along the way. And that way, we know it leads to the goal. And also, we know we can monitor it, we can navigate, and we can change if we need to.
No, I think that's one of those things that I became, I come in and out of that awareness kind of thing. You know, it's like I said, I was kind of reflecting on my own year here, and it's really easy to kind of set that number as the goal, but the reality is that behind that number is that activity that's going to get me there. If I just set on the number, that's all I want is that number. And I stare at that number, it's not going to jump in my wallet or my bank account. I've got to go out and do the activity that's going to lead to the success and the activity there. So I'm a fan of what you're saying there. Let's kind of go through, and I'm going to pick off some things I saw in your kind of topics on your Brokers Who Dominate thing, because I thought it spoke to this kind of thing. Is when you are working with a broker, and also I wanted to back up here just one second. You work with brokers worldwide, correct?
Well, I will say we have brokers across the globe, but the vast majority of our clients, members, we call them, are located in North America.
Okay. In market size, are you work in primary markets, secondary markets, tertiary markets? Are you brokers all over the place?
I'll show you today. Today I talked to one of the top brokers in New York City, and then I talked to one of the top brokers in Lubbock, Texas. So it runs the gamut.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's important to recognize. And then with that, do you work with individuals, or do you work with firms, owners of firms that are trying to get more out of their brokers, or is it more of a one-on-one individual?
Well, no doubt, Darren, the majority of our clients are individual producers and or teams of producers, independent contractors in the commercial real estate space. We do have a segment of our clients that are owner managers of brokerage firms, and that's really more of our consulting side for a variety of reasons. One thing of note, though, because you asked that question, if an owner manager, it's really important, I think, for your audience, you know, if they want to improve their people, especially through coaching, training is a different animal. Training is just a different, it's a completely spectrum of what trainers do. From a coaching perspective, if you want to help your people, I plead to you, do not pay for the program. They must have skin in the game. We found this through thousands of iterations. Those that want to say, yep, you know, we want to help our guys out. How much is it going to cost? Well, how much are they going to invest? Ooh, I don't know. Well, if they can't invest themselves, it's not worth it. So a long about way, we work with mostly individuals and teams, but we do also work with the owners and managers.
I like that distinction there, because I think that's true. I know as a parent, I find that applies many times, the skin in the game. There's a little more action there, and certainly true in the workplace as well. So, you know, sales, when we talk about activity, I think the internet has kind of really made the distinction, but the distinction between marketing and sales. When I was in college, it seemed like sales and marketing were just this connected word that's sales and marketing. And my curiosity is, when you're working with your clients and if somebody set a goal, and it's a reach goal, and so you got to make those sales, but before you make the sales, you've got to find the prospective buyers or clients. One of the entries there on your book kind of outline there was talking about prospecting with less effort. I was kind of curious what that means, or how do you, because I look at that as prospecting me as one of those things that it's a constant. And that, you know, in order to have a pipe full of opportunity, you've got to continue to prospect. You can't, or at least I've not been able to just kind of, you know, get the sale done and then look, you know, and hope that the pipe's full. I've got to continuously be in that prospect mode.
Well, you hit some really key topics there, Darren. So let me see if I can address a couple of them first. First, you noted that, you know, when we went to school, sales and marketing was just a bucket. You know, I have operations, I have finance, and I have sales and marketing. It was just something that was out there, and we thought it to be the same thing. Where, as we coach, and I truly believe, they are so distinct. And this is where producers, performers of any profession, they understand this, how distinct it is. Marketing and sales, and use the word prospecting, let's use that terminology. So sales is to prospecting of what marketing is to your presence in the market. That's really how we look at things. So you say sales, marketing, we look at prospecting, presence. And yes, if you want to prospect with less effort, first and foremost, you must build a strong personal presence in your marketplace. Presence is about, not about sales. Presence is about getting known to the influencers, the decision makers, the affiliates, you know, everything you need to in your marketplace. That's presence. And that gives you the ability to call someone up and say, hey, this is Darren Gross, right? And they say, of course, Darren, I've heard of you. Yeah, love to talk to you, right? Know why you're talking to me. Let's have a conversation. Now, Darren, I know it's never happened to you. I know for a fact it's never happened to you. But when I first started the Mossimo Group, I would say, hi, this is Rod from the Mossimo Group. Occasionally I get and who the heck are you?
It hasn't happened today, but last night I was facing that. So, yeah.
So it's what I mean by that is, once they see your materials and they see your content and they generally have exposure to you, when you call, it's a much easier call. And even to the greater extreme, they start calling you. they start asking about you. I mean, today alone, we've had 5 inquiries this afternoon about our services just because of our presence. And that's what we mean by presence and prospecting, marketing, sales. So when you set your goals, understand the difference and the activities behind each one.
So let's take the scenario here. You've got somebody that's been in the marketplace, but they've not been a marketer. So they've basically been selling as the opportunities have come to them. And now you've got somebody that wants to actually establish that presence. Is there any kind of a formula to that, or is it basically go back to those starting points of where have you been, what are you good at, draw from that?
No, and that's, by the way, that's the condition of most mature, we find most mature CRE professionals. They're good at sales, and they've had success, but they're recognizing something's happening, and that is either their clients are changing, their clients are retiring, their clients are no longer investing or leasing or refinancing, whatever it might be. And so they recognize that continuum, and you mentioned it earlier, that, you know, like that continuum of your pipeline of find, win, fulfill, that you said you have to do every day, and you do, find, win, fulfill. Well, how we continue that going forward without a presence? So where you start from that perspective is, if you have all that success up there, let's go back and let's leverage the success. Doesn't matter if it's 5 years old or 5 weeks old, it doesn't matter. We have success pillars we can build on and build content on to establish a presence in the marketplace.
Now, I like that from a standpoint of, hey, I've been there, I've done that. You've got something to stand on as far as a, someplace to build from. And I think, even when I was long time ago, taking the Dale Carnegie course, you know, if you've done that or it's your story, it's your story. You can speak from that as opposed to having to try to jump into something that you're not familiar with or trying to be somebody you're not, kind of thing. That makes a lot of sense. Let's move, because the next one I wanted to ask you about consistency, or consistently win more business. So somebody sets out, they've got this goal, they want to create this presence. Naturally, it takes a little time to create this presence you speak of. What would you, if you're getting somebody that's new into this, I mean, obviously, I think activity naturally leads to success. How long would you expect somebody have to dedicate themselves to, you know, creating this presence and, to establish a presence and then also, I guess, leads into that consistently win more business.
Yeah. I guess 2 different audiences. If you're just starting out in your profession, you could easily take 6 months to a year to establish your presence. And that takes a consistent, diversified approach to going after your market. We look at it in 3 tiers: what you're personally doing, who you're meeting with, what you're physically sending in the mail, or gifts or whatever, and then what you're digitally performing, right? So personal, physical, digital. And you would need a comprehensive plan as quickly as possible and consistently as possible every single month and sometimes every single week, depending on what we're talking about here, to create a presence. Now, I'll tell you, I'm 50 plus. Let's put it out there. Okay. I'm 53 years old as of this year. So
we were in the same high school together. All right.
We were in the same high school. So it's funny, a prospect called us, the true story, and he was in his 60s. And I said, now I got to ask, you're so successful. Why do you think you need a coach? And this is when I used to take sales calls. Now we've grown so much, I don't take them as much. But he said to me, those damn kids are taking my market share with their newfangled technology. And I'll never forget that. That was great. So for him, he was threatened by, you know, LinkedIn and blogs and tweets, and he had no idea what to do. Well, good thing, by the way, now he has a blog, he's tweeting, he's got a LinkedIn account. I think even this year, he's going to try that famous Facebook account. But, you know, that's the beauty about today's world. You want a presence. You get a presence pretty quickly as far as content. You got to attract the audience, right? You got to be that convener, you know, that conveyor of putting people out there. You have the right to them to convene. You have that power to convene. That takes some time, without a doubt.
Right. No, I think that's the acknowledgement that I've come to terms with, in that that separation of sales and marketing. And, you know, if you're proficient in sales, but you haven't created the content, and shifting gears and that mindset to actually having the, just not trying to make a sale, but just get to the awareness point. You know, you're trying to provide that valuable information that others can use and need, in the marketplace. And, it is kind of, definitely a shifting of the mindset there. Well, that kind of goes right into the, you jumped in kind of leveraging the technology there with the 60-year-old that's now the tweeter, huh? He's out there in the market. Has he created a following?
Well, he's created for him a small tertiary market, nice presence, leveraging success. There's certain pillars you can do and content you could write to leverage your success. And now at least he feels he's on the same playing field, which in itself creates confidence, which in itself creates more opportunity. So, I mean, that's the key. But again, you know, you said, is he doing it? One thing, you know, in this world, let me give you a perfect story. This is a quick one. When I started the Massimo Group, I was sitting at my dining room table 9 years ago and saying, okay, I'm going to start this company. And what I needed was emails of commercial real estate professionals. So I had three choices, right? I do it myself. I go to the internet and I start purging companies and emails and copying and pasting. That's option one. Option two is I ask my wife to do it. Okay, so let's take that option off the board.
I appreciate that.
And option three, right, I outsource it. I find someone to do it for me. And so what I did was, at the time, I read Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Work Week. That week. And it didn't apply to commercial real estate, but it did apply to outsourcing. And I went to Elance, which is now called Upwork.com. Went to Elance and said, look, I'm looking for someone to help me purge commercial real estate professionals' emails from the internet. And I put a bid out there. And I got 20 proposals within an hour. And I picked one. And I went to bed, and that night I woke up the next day and I had 1,000 emails in my inbox, Excel format, and upload to my CRM, and I was in business in one day. Now, Darren, what did it cost me to get 1,000 emails in that quick a time?
You know, I would take a guess, but I think that, you know, the value of the email is pretty valuable. I would expect somewhere $500,000?
$83.
$83.
$83. And that's because I outsourced it to India. That was the only reason. I outsourced to India. And since then, I've done a lot of work outsourcing to Philippines, India, Vietnam. I mean, really talented people in throughout the world that can assist you in some very administrative duties. And I'm not saying outsource outside of America. That's not my point here.
But economies of scale, I mean, you have to pay attention to some of those tasks. I mean, you can't pay somebody that's $15 an hour to, or $25 an hour or more to, you know, spend all day trying to do that when you can do it for $83 and an hour or however long it took. I think that's the worldwide economy. That's kind of leveraging technology there and the opportunity to take advantage of that.
The same thing goes with your Twitter accounts, your blog. You know, I write my own blog, but then I send it out to someone, and that person, who's not in my office, that person posts it on all our LinkedIn groups. All the Twitters are created from the blog. the Facebook activities created from the blog. I don't touch it. Once I write it, I put it, I send it out, and it's gone. It goes out throughout the world. And that's the world we live in. You have to recognize that that's the world you live in, and there are opportunities through technology to leverage, to build your presence, and even, to a point, can build your sales.
Right. Yeah, commercial real estate's a little bit different than the online shoe store where you can go to the shopping cart and put your size in and put your credit card in and 5 days later have your shoes on your doorstep kind of thing. But still, the presence is what I see and recognize what you're saying. It's just that building of the presence there. Let me ask you this, because this is the one that I saw that really kind of spoke to me, and I think more in just a global sense. I think I see small businesses, and I would say that most commercial real estate people I know are essentially running a small business, unless they're working for a large international firm. But even in that, I would argue that I think that most real estate professionals are, to some degree, that they're competing with the people in their office, right? I mean, if you're aligned in a particular market and you're focusing on a particular segment, there's competition there. Agreed?
Oh, absolutely. Independent contractors in an office, your competitors are not only across the street, but they're potentially across your cubicle.
Yeah. And so I'm kind of curious, the mention here of avoid dysfunctional team structures. I was kind of curious to get your input on that.
Well, you know, in my second book, which I wrote the second book called Teams Built to Dominate, after I wrote Brokers Who Dominate, and there's an acronym in Dominate, and the T in Dominate stood for teams. And by studying all these top producing professionals, all of them had teams. I mean, no one works in a silo anymore. And the Superman days are over. I'm going to age myself here, I know. But back in the 80s, when the one broker in the bullpen could do it all, and they sound like Alan Baldwin out of Glengarry Glen Ross. Well, those days are over.
Right.
So, yeah, we actually studied teams. We found that the best teams, without a doubt, first of all, they understand their natural behaviors. We did natural behavior tests on every teammate and every team, and they, just from a natural behavior standpoint, complemented one another. Whether it be assertive or social or calm or conformity or structured, we found there's a nice mix of personalities to work with a team. And certainly, without getting too detailed, another key factor in success for teams was there was clarity. There was clarity of expectation. There was a documentation written down. This is your role. These are the expectations. This is what you can do. Move the team forward. This is our vision. This is your sector of helping us move there. So I mean, there's a lot you can do with teams today in regards to creating a successful culture, community, and environment. But if you look at the natural behaviors and complement those, and then if you look at the roles and clarify those, you're a big step ahead.
Yeah, no, I kind of nod my head as you speak there. That natural behavior thing, I think that's that's an important thing to recognize, as opposed to trying to put the square peg in the round hole and wonder why you're not getting, you know, what comes out of a round hole kind of thing there. But that's great. Let me ask you, and again, this is kind of, I'm following your outline here, but secure top of mind position over the competition. And I guess that kind of goes back. Well, I want to hear what you say, but I'm thinking that kind of goes back to that presence thing, if I'm understanding right.
Yeah, it does go back to presence. I also believe, and one thing we do when we start coaching folks is we look at their current status. We also look at who their competitors are. You know, we're really key to understand who your competitors are and what they're putting out in the marketplace. How are they positioning themselves as thought leaders? And, you know, first of all, not many folks, you know, they may be in LinkedIn. That's what I've done with sign up for LinkedIn. And I may tweet once a day, which doesn't work, of course, and send a blog out once a month, which is a great start, but not really what you need to do. But you got to understand where the competition is. And from understanding where your competition is, then you can absolutely create content and presence around that. And if you see what's working, you see your comparison doing that seems to be resonating, well, you know, there's very few original thoughts in the internet. I know everyone thinks, oh, I can't write something about that. That was already written.
Right. Right. No, it is funny that sense of, well, they've already done, and I guess I'm out of the show. You know, I can't be unique because he's already doing it.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah. No, I've fallen victim to that thought a few times, only realized that's hogwash. You know, if you're not out tooting your horn, nobody's going to know you exist. And at some point, and I've always kind of struggled with that because I don't come from a horn tooting place, if you will. It's just not my MO. I'd rather kind of let my results speak for themselves. But the reality is they don't have a voice. So I've got to give them a voice. And you know, it kind of goes back to what you're talking about. You know, creating that presence and working from what you have done and letting others know that you are a you know, competent option in a marketplace, and that you may have more than what their current relationship has. Let me ask you, you mentioned kind of the market, how it changed in the 08, the Great Recession. Since then, or at least clearly the last couple of years have been kind of a real, you know, a dominant uphill, or not an uphill, but I mean, just real estate has been a great market to be in. If you're in real estate, you've probably done very well if you're active in it. What do you see that when somebody has created a presence and they've established themselves in the marketplace, are they going to be more insulated? Are they going to be able to weather the next downturn better than those that aren't?
Oh, great question, Darren. And absolutely, yes. There's a book that this is from Fox, Unfragile. Talked about how folks, teams, performers, companies come out of bad times stronger, right? And this is the way it is. One lesson I learned really early on is a company in New York called the Siami, Frank Siami Construction Company, the biggest construction company in New York, and I happened just a relationship to meet and know Frank. And he preached to me, when everything's bad, start marketing more. Start marketing more. And so when I started the Massimo Group in 2008, when no one had money for coaching, I put all my money into marketing. That's all it is. Market, market, market. I'll figure out the platform eventually, but let's just market. And you know what? I swore that was the reason we got off as strong as we did and continue to grow. So the greatest time to invest in yourself, the greatest time to invest in your company is when things are bad. Because what happens is all your competitors are the bears, right? And they're going to caves and they're hibernating and they're hoping spring comes soon. And what happened in commercial real estate, when the frost moved away in about 2011, if you look at the numbers, you know, commercial real estate industry probably lost close to 25 to 35% of our active performers during that period. They couldn't survive. They just could not survive. So, yeah, you need to market yourself. You need to leverage your presence and get out there, because people are looking for solutions during times of hard. They're looking for answers, looking for help. And that's the greatest time to reach out your message at that time.
Yeah, no, I think the well, you don't have to look too far to see how many people have done very well in the you know, coming from the Great Recession to now, and how many of them were able to take advantage of kind of the discounted prices and that. And I'm guessing that all of them needed some sort of help in getting those transactions done. I doubt they were just finding all these opportunities on their own, or you know, didn't need money, didn't need a broker kind of thing. So it's funny, because I think, even though, you know, like the stock market, same kind of thing, you know, when you hear everybody talking about how high their stocks are flying and stuff, I've heard brokers talk about that's about the time to get out, because you know, when everybody's talking about how good it is, there's a down day coming, and you know, prepare yourself for that, and do the work now, so that when those tougher days come, you're that recognized resource that people are looking to for help.
Absolutely.
Got it. Well, Rod, I have you know, I've been on your list here for a while, and I want to say thank you for sending out all your information. It's always very well thought out, and it's clear to me that you know, are a well thought out individual, and you've got a good team there. Wanted to ask you if there was anything that you wished that I would have asked you that I didn't get to.
I think you did a very comprehensive job there, Darren. So thank you very much. The only other thing I'd add is we start off about goals, and just to reinforce, whenever you listen to this podcast, it doesn't matter if it's January 15th or June 18th or August 2nd, just start in fresh, start new, look at where you are. You can always grow. And I congratulate everyone. If you're listening to this podcast, that tells me very easily that you're looking to grow and you're looking to improve, and I applaud you for that.
Well, that's well said. Well said. So, Rod, before we go, what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch with you?
The best way is our website. That's Massimo, MASSIMO-group.com. You can always reach me directly if you wish at rod@massimo-group.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on LinkedIn, I'm sure we're everywhere. That's what my team tells me.
Well, you've created your presence. That's good. So, well, hey, Rod, I wanted to say thanks again and Happy New Year to you, and look forward to doing this again soon.
Well, Darren, thank you, and more importantly, thank you for everything you do for the audience, for the industry, and being a leader, and doing that through one of your presence initiatives, this podcast.
All right. Well, thank you, and we will be in touch.
Take care.
I want to thank Rod for taking the time to talk. His advice on how to identify your prospects and create a presence in your ideal prospect community is timeless. If you are committed to changing your outcome in commercial real estate now, go and check out Rod at the Massimo Group. You can check the show notes for all the links to Rod at the Massimo Group. That's all we've got this week. Until next time, thanks for listening to Commercial Real Estate Pro Network's CREPN Radio.
You're listening to CREPN Radio for influential commercial real estate professionals. For more information on this or any of our guests, like us on Facebook, CREPN Radio.